Before we start this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including the Stitcher Radio app for your mobile device, iTunes, our website air-raid.net, and of course at www.cairoradio.com. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 260. In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series, I am your host, Aaron Roden. And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom indeed, folks. Boom indeed. We've got a great show planned for you this week. Jonathan Nunez of the band Torch. The band Torch, man, is joining us here shortly. They came through Seattle a couple of weeks ago, and I had the good fortune to sit down in the green room right there at Chop Suey on Capitol Hill with none other than John Nunez of Torch, man. I have loved Torch for a long time. Torch has been one of my bands, man. One of my go-to, like, heavy metal, fuzz... bands. Fuzz rock bands, man. I love it. I absolutely love it. They've got a new album out. It's called Restarter, and it is available now on Relapse Records. You can go to torchmusic.com, find out more, and purchase yourself a copy of Restarter, because it is freaking fantastic. It is so good. And we're going to feature some music from Restarter throughout the episode here, as we always do. That's right. That's right. So let's see. Yeah. Torchmusic.com. Go there. Check out the tour dates. They've got some coming up July 28th. They're at the Casbah in San Diego the 29th. They are still at the Casbah. There are still tickets available for those shows. July 31st, the Roxy Theater in Los Angeles, California. August 1st, Oakland Metro Opera House in Oakland, California. August 2nd, Harlow's Restaurant and Nightclub in Sacramento. And then August 15th at the Oya Festival 2015 in Oslo, Norway. Let's see. How do you say that? Oya? It's O-Y-A. O-Y-A Festival. I figure since it's in Norway, it'd be like Oya. 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 Something like that. Is that that's racist. I shouldn't have done that. It's not funny. Okay. All right. Moving on. fell flat. It's hard to do like funny things on a show like this when you're the only person in the room. Do you guys realize that? You realize how difficult that is? Oh my God. So a weird thing has been coming up with my daughters. Of course, my eldest daughter, Tatum, is 4 years old. And she's just a great person. I love her. She's turning into just such a cool kid. Not that cool matters at all, but she's cool, man. She's like, you know, she digs things. She likes to get into it, like music and guitar, and she loves dinking around. She's great at art, and she loves singing. She's always singing, which is just great. And the other day, I'm going off on a tangent here, but the other day, I was sitting there, and she was singing basically what she was doing, right? She just singing about her actions, and it was actually not bad. Like, she was writing the whole thing right there on the spot, you know, just singing about what she was doing. And it was like she was hitting some notes that that were pretty surprising for a four-year-old. So I'm pretty impressed, man. I think I'm going to start cultivating this a little bit and see if she wants to do that. She's also dancing all the time, too. We were walking through Fred Meyer today looking for a new bike for the kiddo. We need a pedal bike. And we're walking through the aisles of Fred Meyer, and she's just dancing to the music that's playing over the loudspeaker. And people were, you know, for the most part, they were looking at her and smiling. I got a couple really weird looks from, like, young, hip people, which was kind of shitty. It's just like, why are you giving me a shitty look? It's my daughter. She's 4. She's going to dance through the aisles if she wants, man. Chill the fuck out. Too cool for school. I hope my daughter doesn't turn out like that. That would be terrible. I don't want her to do that. Because I'm kind of like that myself. And I really hate that quality in myself. I was definitely like that when I was a teenager. I think a lot of us probably were. But man, I do not want her to be me. She's got anger issues already. So, you know, that's working out. Oh my God. But but what I wanted to get to was that the issue of death came up. My 4-year-old daughter Tatum is starting to ask what's going to happen when mommy and daddy die, because she sees these movies, right? All these Pixar movies now, it's like there's a character dies in the beginning, right? It's super sad in the beginning, and then it has to kind of, you know, go on from there. And so we try to explain that to her when she watches a movie and there's a death of a character. We say, okay, well, that person died. Why did he die? She asks. Well, they were in a big storm and their boat went, sank. Well, how did they die then? And then it's like, well, what do I say? They drowned from, you know, taking water into their lungs. It's bad. And if you don't learn how to swim, then you could drown too. And so I'm just like going into this thing. And she's looking more and more kind of frightened as we go on in this conversation. And I don't know how to handle that, man. I don't know what the next step is here, you know, to talk about with my kid. Like, she started asking, like I said before, like what's going to happen when mommy and daddy die? And then we have to explain, like, we're not going to die for a long time, right? But then what if we do? And then we're just liars, right? And she'll just think we're liars and hate us for dying. You know, I'm afraid of that. I don't know why. It's something that's creeping into my psyche, getting under my skin. Man, I don't know. Let's do this, shall we? It's getting too dark. Let's pick it up. Let's go to our first musical break. And when we get back, we're going to be talking with John Nunez, bass player for the band Torch. The Torch is so great. Torch is absolutely great. The guys couldn't have been nicer when they came through Seattle. Something you really need to check out is they've got their own frickin' video game, like an 8-bit video game that's on their website. It's on the landing page of the website. So once again, go to torchmusic.com and go play this video game. It's called Torch versus Robots, and it is awesome. It is so great. We're also going to post a link for their latest video as well, called Annihilation. Annihilation Affair, which is just crazy. And we talk about that video in this chat with John. I also got his name wrong, so don't blame me for that. Been doing a lot of interviews lately. People can't keep them all straight. All right, this song is called Minions, off of the new album Restarter by the band Torch, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest today, John Nunez of the band. Be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Someday, true, we'll all see.
Okay.
The 900, but incredibly better.
Yeah.
You do a lot of work. I have one that's insanely modded, I realize.
Yeah. That's yours?
No, that's his.
Oh, okay. You guys usually play on vintage equipment?
Mixed match, man. Not as much. We don't use a lot of, like, boutique, you know, Tone Lawyer gear.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually way more accessible, and I don't know what anybody who isn't spending over $200-something on a pedal, like, I'd be surprised. Except for, like, maybe a couple bigger, more complex pedals.
Sure.
That, honestly, we end up downsizing and not really using. Most of our stuff is, I don't know, pretty basic.
Yeah. Would you say you have to have, or you don't have to, but it's better to have that the older analog equipment to get the sound that you guys are after, though?
Definitely. It's a huge part of our sound, like, both recorded and live. Like, I would say Steve's head, the 2210, is something like an 87 or something. My SVT is from the mid-70s. It's a Magnavox era SVT.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, Andrew, your clone is what, like a 70s? A 59 Super Lead clone that he made?
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely. And then Steve has Les Paul. He recently got, last time was his first show with it. He's stoked. You know, I think that the guitar's going to stick around. And I have an aluminum Travis Bean type bass.
Uh-huh.
And then Andrew has some like ES-335 type Framus guitar that he's been using for
right, that's what that is. I was trying to figure out what that is. I could never remember the name Framus though.
Yeah, they're not super popular. They're
with, like, the
nice.
V headstock, right? It comes out in two prongs or something like that. Is that what that is?
There's a Dean. It's like that.
No. Like, it's because doesn't the Framus have the, it's the aluminum neck?
Yeah, you might be thinking of our aluminum guitarist. It has a thin bar at the top, but it is kind of look like a V.
Right, right.
Kind of like Kramer type.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. I always tried to, when I was playing music in bands, I always tried to, like, emulate the sound that you guys have. And I don't know what it was, but I could never get there. Could never do it.
It's all in the wrist.
So you guys, let's see, you guys are from Miami, Florida.
Yeah, originally Andrew's from St. Louis, but yeah.
Okay. Are you still hailing from?
No, I recently just moved to Gainesville, Florida.
Okay.
Set up a studio there, and then Rick's living in Miami. Steve has been living in San Francisco for 2 years, but is moving back to Atlanta. And Andrew's been in Atlanta for, I don't know, a few years already, or 3 years.
2011.
Okay.
Since 2011.
Yeah.
So you guys are spread out all over the place.
Yeah. We're getting
how the hell
closer.
Does that work, man?
Well, when we get together, you know, we get together for a predetermined amount of time, you know, whether it's, you know, budget allowing or touring schedule, you know, it's got to line up for all four of us, along with, like, the band's itinerary or plans for the year.
Right.
And when we get together, we really don't waste any time, really. Like, we sit, usually, you know, get together fairly early in the day and fucking go at it for like 10, 12 plus hours.
Really?
And take like one break. But yeah, we put in some long days and sometimes.
Now, that are you just talking about like practicing, getting ready for a tour or something? Or
we don't do that.
Like how you guys made Restarter.
Make all our records. It's just on the spot together usually.
Really?
Yeah. You know, with the exception of maybe a couple songs. But yeah, practicing, we really. Sometimes we can't. Like, before this tour, we couldn't. So last night was the first time we played in at least a month.
And that was down in Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It worked out pretty... You know, the way I look at it, usually we don't practice for a tour, and I feel that it catches up with you a little bit sometimes. Like, usually within the first 3 or 4 shows.
Yeah?
Usually the first 2, you're like, man, we're fucking killing it. And then there's that little check, you know, like the 3rd or 4th show, like, all
right,
here
right,
you go.
Right.
Bam. So, it's like, but it works
don't
out.
Get ahead of yourself,
it works
pal.
Out pretty, yeah, exactly. It works out pretty well.
That's good. So no major mistakes last night then, I take it.
There was like one note. I think I personally got it right the first time around. Then the second time, I'd like, what's the other fret sound like? And it was wrong. And it's like, yeah. Like sometimes you feel it out. You do like a gradual little slide. And you're like, here we go.
Yeah.
It's like,
you find
it's like,
the spot.
It's like heat seeking, you know, like where's that hot? Where's that hot note? Yeah, it was fine, man.
Now, you guys are talking about the new stuff.
Yeah.
Even the old stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I fucking forgot.
You want to come in and join us?
Huh?
You want to join us?
Not really.
Okay.
It's comfortable and it's hot and the fan is pointing in kind of his direction. He's
right.
Also digesting ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah. And sitting next to the stripper pole, I see. They really souped up this green room, you guys.
You gotta keep it interesting, you know?
Used to be very, very bright in here. No stripper stage. Man, they got the whole thing here at the new Chop Suey.
I like the big dragon.
Yeah, that used to be out in that back bar.
Nice. Yeah, it looks like it's
Been around. And it was a full dragon hanging from the ceiling.
Damn, it's awesome.
Anyway, so like I said, you guys are from Florida.
Yeah.
And I've got a lot of questions about Florida.
Shoot.
Is it really that crazy?
Yes.
It is.
Crazy as fuck.
Like, just what is it, man?
Just,
is it the
heat, man? You're going to start seeing crazy shit happening right now.
No. It's already starting, and that's why
exactly.
I wanted to talk to you about that.
And that's what
because
we
it's so hot over here.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, man. It's just a mix of a bunch of people. And I feel like warm weather attracts crazy people. You know,
right.
I've just spent, San Francisco. L.A., you know, I guess major cities anywhere you're going to have crazy people. But I think generally, like, warm climates attract all the crazies.
Right.
You know?
Because they think it's just becomes like the party,
you know,
the tropical
Florida's
spot.
Also, Florida's a fairly large state.
Right.
So, you know, you got a lot of weird shit happening in the you know, central Florida. And, you know, I don't know. A lot of stuff goes on there.
Yeah?
A lot of people.
Do you like the craziness?
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, as long as it doesn't affect or hurt anybody, like...
Well, it seems to be hurting quite a few.
Yeah, I know. I heard that some dude was doing some stuff with his dog, and that sucks.
Oh,
but,
no.
And I don't stand for that. But, I don't know, man. Anywhere you go, there's something, you know? Either there's somebody locked up, somebody in a basement for 13 years, or...
Yeah.
You know, somebody's having his way with his dog. I don't know. People are gross. People are awful.
Yeah, you can find that anywhere.
Yeah.
There was a guy here in Washington in a town called Enumclaw.
Eagleclaw?
Enumclaw.
Okay.
Yeah. That was died from doing it to his horse, or his horse was doing it to him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I might have, was that like, did they have like something?
It was big news a couple years ago.
I might have heard about that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, he went out like a champ, I guess.
Guess so. So, Josh, you're the bass player for Torch?
John.
John?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I apologize.
You're joshing me, dude.
Oh, man, I apologize. How long have you been with Torch? From the inception, right?
Yeah, right after the beginning.
Yeah?
Our friend Mike Allen played bass for, I think, a couple practices. For, like, two practices. I just like the story, Steve. Let me talk. So, he did, like, one or two practices. I took out a little recording rig to record some demos for them as a favor.
Uh-huh. Talk right into that.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
and then there was something about not giving somebody a ride and getting Gatorade, and then I got in the band.
That was it? You got
it? Yeah, it was pretty much the beginning, man. But it was, you know, it worked out for me.
Yeah?
And I definitely like it, and it's a huge part of my life, so.
Well, obviously, it's your job, right?
Yeah. It's, you know, I love it. I love it. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I would be doing something else like this, but the band's a pretty good fit, you know?
<That's good.
laughs> Nah, I love it, man. It means everything to me.
That's good. It should be after 10 years, right?
Yeah, close to 11, man.
Oh, really? Closing in.
Yeah, I mean, shit. The other day, our tour manager, Tomas, was hanging out in L.A., and I don't know. Time flies. I didn't realize I was 32. I was like, I thought I was 31. He's like, no, man. You're born a year before me.
That's funny. I actually just had my 35th birthday,
okay.
and I totally forgot about it until my boss came and was like, okay, we're taking you out to lunch. And I was like, for what? Okay. Like, for your birthday. And I was
he should have just not said anything and saved some money.
That's right.
That's awesome. Well, happy belated.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Happy belated to you as
Thank
well.
You.
Yeah. So, where did music start for you, man? Like,
oh, just at a young age.
Yeah.
I got, like, once...
Parents into it?
Yeah, you know, but mostly, like, Latin music. But there weren't I wouldn't say there were the most... You know, there was a lot of parties. Like, growing up, I remember just, like, felt like every other weekend, if not every weekend, it was, like, a huge festival with, like, tons of Latin food, and everybody was dancing, and it was just awesome, incredible.
Yeah.
I wish it was still like that. But I guess more like towards the end of elementary school.
Are you a Latin person? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cuban.
So I was really in fourth and fifth grade. I was really into oldies and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But then I had some older friends that exposed me to, you know, typical like Slayer, Metallica, and stuff like that. And then out of nowhere, my parents, like, they hooked me up, man. Like, my dad started showing me a bunch of classic rock stuff.
Uh-huh.
And my mom took me to laser shows. Like, I saw, like, Led Zeppelin 4, and I was, like, blew my fucking mind.
Yeah.
And we went, like, the next day to a Specs, and she bought me the cassette. And we kind of shared it a little bit. And she was really excited that, I don't know, it struck a nerve or something with me. Like, I was just, like, so,
yeah,
like, gripping every sound. I was like, what is this? And, you know, it was cool because my friends were showing me, you know, like, early, you know, like Kill 'Em All, Master Puppets, Rain and Blood. Like, there was a double disc, live Slayer disc that I listened to, like, a lot. And we used to, like, turn off the lights in a room and jump off beds and shit like that.
I actually ran across an old VHS tape me and my buddy were doing that to Sonic Youth.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very
embarrassing.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. Very embarrassing. That's priceless footage. So, you know, I would listen to that stuff with them. But I was always, like, into, like, listening to, like, Van Halen, Jimi Hendrix with my dad and stuff like that, like, in the car. And just the sounds, like, the saturated guitars and all that. I was just like, God damn, man, listen to that shit. And, you know, my dad one day must have saw me, like, getting an extra kick out of it and really jamming to something. And he was like, hey, you want to be like them, man? You want to be like them? And I was like,
yeah.
I don't know, man, but, you know, he's like, you want to play guitar? I'm like, I would like to try, you know. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I could learn how to do it.
Yeah.
And I just didn't, I never, you know, me and my...
Was your dad a guitar player?
No way. Nobody, like, that I know of in my family plays any sort of instrument. My uncle, at parties, would run around drunk playing, a trombone. Or not trombone, he wasn't good at it. Well, he got good at it.
Yeah.
At first it was, like, flat and sharp and crazy as hell. Like, I swear, it's like Budweiser flying out of the fucking spit hole, or I don't know what the hell it's called, the horn.
Yeah.
Where the sound comes out of. And eventually it got good, man. He was, like, on it. You know, he's practicing along with the same LPs for years, so.
Oh, okay. But, so it wasn't just, like, every party he was just, like, breaking this thing out. That was where he practiced the
trumpet. Yeah, exactly. It was, like, he was performing for everybody. Okay. And, like, dude, the guy's an amazing dancer.
Yeah.
And so he'd be dancing and fucking playing this shit. And then, you know, the percussive stuff was always around, all of, you know, percussive instruments. But he, you know, one-upped everybody and started fucking picked up some brass.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but yeah, my dad was like, oh, you want me to get your guitar? I'm like, I always felt bad. Like, I don't want to spend money or anything. But he saw me. I just couldn't stop smiling. I was like, really?
Yeah.
He's like, let's go. I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right, tomorrow. I'm like, shit, okay, tomorrow. So we went to a guitar store that had really cool stuff. I wish it was still around today. Lots of really rare, you know, types of guitars and, you know, cool creamers and, like, Fenders that had crazy body shapes I've never seen before. And some I feel like I've never seen since. But we walked in and then, you know, I guess, you know, they had some cheaper acoustic stuff. And then there was some nice, good enough, like, lower-end electrical, you know, electric guitars.
Yeah, rather. Yeah.
And, you know, he was like, all right, let's start off with this. And if you dig it and you're into it and you stay with it, then we'll get you an electric. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, damn, I want to play an amp. I want to, you know.
Right.
I'm like, all right. So, you know, I started taking guitar class in middle school. And I was so lazy, man. I would, like, read music a little bit and do the tabs.
Yeah.
But since a friend had taught me, like, how to, like, you know, play power chords and, you know, a couple, you know, just classical notes or whatever it's called.
Sure.
I would just watch the other students and see how the patterns and the chords.
And try to emulate that.
Dude, I fucking copied the hell out of them. And the one kid called me out, and the teacher was like, but come on, look at him. And I was already, like, in the corner playing something else. And he's like, look at him, he fucking plays, all right? Just, you know, like, he knew I was totally him or some other student.
But. Right.
But it was cool, and I remember the first time I saw someone playing electric guitar was my friend in his, like, a small efficiency he lived in with his mother, and, you know, she was able to get him, like, a little amp. It was, like, a little crate with insane, like, super high gain, like a GX.
Yeah, I remember those tiny little amps. Like, PV made one.
Exactly.
There was, like, a Gorilla.
Yo,
you remember the Gorilla ones?
But it didn't have distortion. I had to crank everything to 11, like,
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
That was my distortion. Just a blown out little circuit. But this dude, you know, he had this full on, like, buzzy, like, I don't know, like, Poison Motley Crue distortion or something. It was like,
sure.
It sounded like a rap pedal, but really, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
More as solid state as it can possibly get.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Really.
That's what I had, too. It was the PV, I think it was called the Blazer or something like
that.
That
sounds about
or
right.
Bandit. Maybe it was the Bandit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh my god, and it just sounded like shit.
Dude, to me that shit awful. Sounded like fucking Sonic Gold. Like,
really?
You just strum the power chord, I'm like, you're my age, you're doing this, what the fuck? And I was just like, can you show me how to do that, please?
Yeah.
And he just, all he did was strum like a G, like a power chord, I was like, damn. And then when he did E, I'm like, that's the heaviest shit. And he just showed me, like, you know, like, I don't know, like G,
yeah.
D, A, C,
right.
F, and, you know, then you got fucking E over here, and then there's octaves, so it's like the same note, but higher in the neck,
uh-huh.
or on a higher string, and it was just like, dude, you're like, I have a friend turned guru for the
yeah,
for,
man.
For the next couple weeks or months.
That's great, it's always great to have a friend like that.
Yeah,
man.
I was like, dude, you're like, you have so much knowledge.
Right.
Like, you're like, I like, this is real school, you know, like. So I was always just stoked to get out of school at the end of the day and go and, you know.
And just play. Fuck around.
Yeah. And eventually my cousin, he was like, yeah, I've been playing too. I'm like, what? And his dad bought him an amp and a guitar. And then he was also like, I can play drums too. I'm like, damn. And my dad bought him a drum set. We kept it at my house.
Yeah.
So we would just like play. And, you know, we upgraded because at first it was like buckets and like a mop and a broom.
Right.
And we would
right.
just like on a cassette, you know, play shit. And,
yeah.
Like, fucking act a fool, but
that's a great way to start, man.
Yeah, I mean, like from within a year of playing imaginary instruments, we actually got real ones.
Uh huh. Yeah.
And then throughout the years, slowly, you know, saving up and like parents helping us out a little bit here and there, like we
sure.
got better instruments.
How old were you at this point?
Well, when I got my electric guitar, I was probably, I would say, like, I think it was like 12. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Know? And it wasn't that good. It was like an Epi. It's like a really like. Heavy Strat,
uh-huh.
but then, you know, and then I got, you know, within a few months or within a year, I got, like, a distortion pedal, a phaser, like, old DOD stuff.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, Boss was kind of pricey. It was, like, DOD was almost, like, half the price.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
I remember those pedals.
But, dude, like, I don't know, there's still some old DODs hold up. You know?
Yeah.
I know they've
yeah.
been reissuing some of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's and then from there, it was just, like, from...
Your dad must have been stoked. Yeah, it sounds like your dad was, like, he was trying to push you, but he did it the right
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I think he
was,
felt...
He was
like
just
was
like, hey, you want to do this?
Yeah.
You want to do this? You want to sound
thought,
like that?
He never thought I'd be doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. Like, we might for the bass cabs.
Okay.
Yeah? Okay. Thank you. But, yeah, I think he always thought of it as, like, a... Time to close the door.
Sit down.
Thanks,
sit down.
Buddy.
I think he always thought of it as like a hobby or, you know, never took it seriously.
Yeah.
I would say, man, shit, up until like 6 or 7 years ago, where maybe I'd lent them some money or him some money or like
yeah.
I was paying my, I really, you know, between recording and touring, eventually I wasn't really trying to get help, you know, and holding down
sure,
like temporary jobs.
Sure.
I never really asked my parents for much, you know, especially, you know, from the age of, like, I don't know, like, once I was out of high school, I really didn't, I actually was a bag boy, and I would save up all my money and, like, buy, like, first half stack and,
uh-huh.
you know, shit like that.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
So I didn't, you know, I didn't really need much from my parents ever, like, once I got rolling or old enough to work, and, but once you saw, like, holy shit, magazines, you know, it shit's online, and
yeah.
we're touring, and... You know, I bought a car or, you know, truck or whatever. And, like,
yeah.
he's like, holy shit, man. You know, we're
this is a real
and,
deal.
And
was he worried about you? Were
yeah,
your parents, like, kind of worried? Like,
yeah,
like what's
he
when's he going to get
this,
out of this?
Yeah, is it real? Is it just, like,
sure.
is he wasting time? I'm sure that, you know, they never said it.
Uh-huh.
But I felt a certain type of, like, not, I don't know if fear is the right word, but, like, a little bit like, damn, we hope this wasn't a... It's not a bad choice for him in the long
right,
run.
Right, right.
But, you know, I've traveled. I've seen in places, and they've seen, like, me, like, you know, go from, you know, in certain regional areas in the States where it's, like, cozy touring, you
mm-hmm.
know, to, like,
yeah.
whoa, here,
yeah.
North America, Japan, Australia,
right.
Europe, you know, the UK and all
yeah.
that. And they're like, holy shit, man, you're really, this is a thing. Like, people
yeah.
know you, and
yeah.
they've come across people who know my band or, like, their friends who ask, you know, I don't know, shoot the shit about your kids, I guess. Parents do that.
Right.
And they're like, oh, you're someplace in a band? What band? And it's like, oh, Torch. And like, yeah, my son or my daughter listens to your son's band. It's like, what? So it's kind of, you know, they've come
that's
out to
awesome.
Shows.
Yeah. That's awesome for
and
your
And they'll come out to
here,
shows
right?
and they'll see, you know, there's people there, you
yeah,
know? Like,
yeah.
They're wearing
Does that
shirts.
Ever make you nervous, though, like your parents coming to the show?
Nah. I
did
think
it,
it's
Did
hilarious.
It ever?
Maybe my first show or something, but I think yeah. I was just more terrified of actually playing in front of people.
Yeah.
You know, than anything.
You had stage fright.
Oh, yeah. That wanted to throw up first show.
Really?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, once you're having caught up and having fun,
mm-hmm.
and, like, you're busting your ass practicing, writing songs, recording them, you know, it's, you know, the end result is, like, you want to play. You want That's, like, the payoff, you know?
Sure.
You get to have yeah. fun, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. So what was that? What walk me through that experience, though. Like, what was that first show like when you
Oh,
were...
I was filling in for my friend's band. It yeah. fucking sucked. They sucked. And
you were
my
filling
cousin,
in for your friend's band?
Yeah, just helping them out, you know?
Okay.
And then my cousin, we had him...
Was it originals or covers?
Yeah, it was originals.
Yeah?
Original fucking turds. But, but you know, it was something to do, and I was like, hell yeah, I want to play, you know? And they're playing, like, Cheers, which is, like, you know, an old club in Miami that's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, all
yeah.
the, you know, all the hardcore punk bands play there and all that.
Uh-huh.
And we actually, the night before the show, I get a call from the guitar player. And he's like, dude, we need a drummer. My cousin can't. Because his cousin couldn't play. And I'm like, well, my cousin plays drums. We've played with him. He's like, yeah, ask
yeah.
him. And he was fine. I remember, like, talking on the phone, like, with my cousin that night. Like, we were so nervous we couldn't go to sleep.
Yeah.
And I think him being nervous made me really nervous. And I don't know. It was just like this like impending feeling of like doom and doubt. Like this is going to be a shit show.
Yeah.
You
and
know,
how'd
but
it
I was
go?
Like, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, it was That's fine. Good. And then, and I think you know, early on, like, I guess we got real good at like, if something unplanned may happen or uh-huh. if somebody goes fucks up
yeah.
just stay with it man let it
right.
keep rolling you know
right.
and like we were good at that and my cousin had a good way of just like cruising through you know
yeah yeah
and that really helped out our friends and it was cool to be a part of it and like to play a like legit venue not a backyard
sure
but the
sure.
only thing that sucks is I insisted the other dude play my guitar I had because I played bass for them which was a Telecaster and he wanted to use this crazy shaped guitar like total shit and we left my Telecaster on the side
uh-huh.
and somebody fucking stole it so
what
so yeah so I get you know
oh.
it's all good you know
that's the worst I've never had a an instrument stolen
horrible
yet.
Feeling
and
it's a horrible
it just,
feeling
it seems like that would be just the worst
oh dude it's fucking terrible
yeah
it sucks
yeah well let's do this let's take our first second musical break
okay
and we'll return with more from awesome. John from Torch Air Raid Podcast. Stay with us.
Oh. So are your parents originally from Cuba?
Yeah, they were born and raised, and they moved to the States fairly young. My dad moved to New Jersey, and my mom...
So with their parents?
Yeah. And then my mom moved to Tampa, then moved down to Miami, and then while my dad was in New Jersey, his family decided to move down to Miami as well. And it's funny because they grew up down the street from each other in Cuba.
Oh, really?
Then they were separated for a bit, and then they found each other again. Like,
that's,
you know,
crazy.
As teenagers in Miami. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, my God. That's a great story.
Yeah, yeah. They got a good connection, you know, like,
yeah,
and stuff. They're not together anymore, but there's a certain, like, friendship, and, like, they're really fucking funny together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's kind of, it was a neat story.
Still together?
No.
Oh, they're not?
No.
Oh, okay. But no. They get along?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Until my mom's like, I'm annoyed, get away from me. So that type of thing.
That's good. So, do they ever tell you stories about living in Cuba and experience like that?
Yeah,
do they remember much of it?
Yeah, they were there. They left fairly young, but my dad grew up on a... He was a fucking troublemaker. He lived in a small town, like, kind of lived on a farm, you know? And so he would just, like, run around all, after school, I guess, just run around raising hell all over town.
Yeah.
And then, you know, since small town type of things, like, you hear, you get wind of everything. So his mom would wait till the end of the day and wait till he was taking a shower, and she'd have a switch. In Cuba, they call him Chucho.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And while he was taking a shower, you know, she would, like, quietly go into the bathroom. And she would just start, like, sounding off, like, I heard you did this at 2:00. And he was like, oh, shit. And she'd just throw open the curtain and just fucking get him on the ass or something, on the leg or something. And just, it was just funny to hear, like, you know, the shit that, how people would get reprimanded back then. It was like, that shit. And then the States, it was like that to a certain point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, certain things may be a little different, but it's, and, like, teachers smoking in classrooms.
Oh,
and,
sure, man.
You know, it's super, just, I definitely didn't start going to school way after my parents were out of school, but it's just such a crazy dynamic, and them moving to a country, they didn't know the language, and you know how they adapted and picked up on certain things, learned a new language, and I mean, really,
that must have been tough, man.
Yeah, man, you know, coming to a country with nothing,
yeah,
you know, it's pretty inspiring to hear that, and you know, I'm very lucky, definitely. To have some hardworking parents that provided for me until I was old enough to provide for myself.
And
Just I'm really lucky to have, you know, great supportive parents.
Want to say, sounds like that's what I was going to say. Sound like they're super supportive of anything you wanted to do.
Yeah, even when they didn't understand what the hell I was getting into with, you know, more like abstract, crazier music that will never be played on the radio, maybe on a college station. You know, that's one thing that was funny. Starting to play college stations on the radio.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's wrong with these people? They sound like they're, like, asleep. They need some energy.
Wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up. Have some coffee.
I always thought that was super funny. And on the way to school, and they're like, all right, can we change this? I can't take this anymore.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. But I definitely am very appreciative.
Oh, sure.
You know, of everything.
Does that bug you a little bit, though?
What's that?
That you guys haven't, like, hit the mainstream yet? I mean, in my mind, you guys are mainstream for me.
Well, I think it's just different, you know, levels for different types of music, maybe. Or I know for us, like, we were able to pay our bills. We live a certain way, you know, comfortably within our...
Within your means.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We don't try to, like... overspend, and like, because you want to enjoy what you do,
sure,
love, and then keep doing what you love. But you should, you know, I'm personally not the type of person that's trying to, you know, put myself in a situation where I start to resent something. Not that I would ever, but you know what I mean. Like, just work, stay within your financial lane. You know,
right,
like,
right.
That way you get to enjoy your life and what you can do with your time, and you know, really just. And I think it all it's. It's the opposite of a vicious cycle, you know? It's a productive, you know...
I think it makes you a happier person.
Absolutely.
Like, you're not constantly striving to own that Corvette.
Oh, no.
You know, or pay off that...
There's plenty of time for that later.
You know, the bathtub that's made of pure granite. God. Like, you know, like, you're just always going to be unhappy.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm not... Yeah. I'm not chasing waterfalls. You know what I mean? I'm more
your true musical taste just came out.
Exactly. I should be dropping those every so often. But yeah, for me, man, I have a, you know, I had a decent truck.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm kind of, I don't really need a car, so I don't have one at the
moment.
But I'm more into, you know, I'll drive a little hoopty, but have like studio and musical equipment.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, that to me is worth way more.
Yeah, way more important.
Absolutely. Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. I like that, man. Yeah. So, do you ever make it back to Cuba?
No.
You've never visited?
No. I feel like I missed an opportunity when there was, like, you know, great-grandmother was still alive and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, because you still had family over there.
Yeah, and I still do. But I feel like there was certain key people that would have been awesome to, you know, meet, spend time with, and learn. And just taking some stories, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I think, you know, within the next couple of years, I'll probably end up visiting. It was just kind of bittersweet for a while. I was like, yeah, you can go. You know, you'd have to go to Canada or Mexico and then head over. But it was kind of like bittersweet because you'd be literally handing money over to, you know, in a way, like the government that took your, you know, your family's land.
And, oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, or just it has people.
Is that what happened? Is that why your parents?
Yeah,
is that why your parents?
Yeah, they
moved
got
over
the,
there with your.
They got, you know,
moved over here, I guess.
Yeah, they knew stuff was headed south. Like my dad's grandfather, his farm was taken from him, and
wow,
and all sorts of stuff. Like, you know, when you start seeing change coming, and it's not the best for you and your family.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They did, you know, just like many other Cubans and other people from many other places. If you got to do, you know, what's in your best interest for yourself and your family.
So they got out like super early.
Yeah, like before the Mario boat lifting.
Okay.
Yeah. So they saw shit starting not to look so good, and they got the they
oh,
got
man,
a couple
they
hints.
Were
and,
smart.
Yeah.
Really smart. Yeah. Well, that's kind of a bummer, man, that you haven't made it over.
But
there.
You know, I figure I'll go, and I'd like to go with my father. You know, I think that'd be the right way to do it.
Oh man, that would be great.
But I think, you know, within the next year and a half, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it should be getting easier and easier to get down there,
too. Yeah, I
mean,
shit, man. Who knows? We might be playing there sooner than later.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So tell me about when like, you know, you started getting comfortable with playing music in front of people. When did that finally happen?
It's kind of funny because after that first show where I filled in,
yeah?
You know, played, did very well, all, you know, like filling in and all that. And then, you know, I got really into just writing a lot, you know, like just keep
on
stuff
guitar.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, how many songs can you write a week? Kind of. I was on that frame of mind for a while. And I feel that I had a band going with two close friends. And we always had like bass players going in and out. But I always had a knack for like setting up a rig, like a guitar rig, and then like something sort of like what eventually became. Like a bass rig, you know, that was like running in like together with a guitar, rig. You know, that so we it was just me on guitar, usually lower tunings, and then our friend playing drums and another friend doing vocals.
Yeah,
and we would kind of get invited to play these house shows with kids that were from our singer's high school.
Uh-huh.
And there was almost like this rival vibe because those guys were into a different types of music than we were. And I feel like we were a little more maybe like out of the box, a little more unique to, at least compared to what they were doing.
Sure,
and
sure.
It always felt like we were about to play and they're like, oh, no, this next band, and then you guys. There was always something stopping us from playing, and it was those guys. And the parties were either get shut down, or it got really late, like curfew. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it was like,
all
right, if we keep playing, cops are gonna show up, so the party's over. It's like, or like, all right, they turn on the stereo at a decent level, and it's like, all
right,
you know, nobody's playing. So
right.
So I feel like for a year or two, kind of got dicked out of not playing, and then before I knew it,
so you're just ready for it at that
point.
Yeah,
I was hungry for it. No, you know, I was just like ready, man. I want to play. You know, I love equipment. I'm saving money, bagging groceries and shit. Like, I'm buying this stuff. I just want to fucking crank it up. And a couple years passed, and then started some other bands, got on local shows. Because, you know, we started playing with other people that were playing shows and other bands that we would go see. And, you know, from there, I mean, a couple years later, you know, kind of like a few U.S. tours and regional tours started, you know, jumped into this. So it kind of moved quickly, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I haven't stopped. So I kind of haven't stopped since I was like 17 as far as touring. Like for
really?
Real. Yeah.
Wow, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
What was the feeling when like Torch started doing big things?
It was
cool. Like when that became a real thing.
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome to work with, you know, like actually you have like 12-inch, you know, records fucking press and cool artwork and, you know, meeting other bands and people in bands that I looked up to and whose records I'd been listening to, and then them in turn being into my band. I was like, whoa, and like playing. We got to play. I mean, we've always been lucky enough to play with, you know, a lot of bands we look up to. And sometimes you don't, you know, you come across bands that you're not familiar with and you're like, holy shit, these guys are awesome. And it might be for a few shows, a show or a tour.
Sure.
But it's always good to, you know, be exposed to new stuff and see it live. You know, sometimes that's the best way when you get exposed to something
definitely.
For the first time live. You have no idea what to expect.
Yeah. I first heard of you guys, I think it was probably 6 or maybe even 8 years ago. You guys were playing a show, and I think this was it. You guys were playing with a show with, I believe it was Helms of Lee.
Okay, was that a Nemo's?
Ben Varelin's band.
Yeah, good friends of ours.
Yeah, Ben's a great guy. Why don't you guys have any Varelin amplifiers?
I don't know. We just bought stuff. We haven't shipped across the country or something. I don't know. We've used it. We've actually rented a whole Varelin backline for...
They're great, man.
Yeah, they sound
awesome. Oh, they're so good. I have one of his first ones. And just amazing. That's just awesome. Amazing. Yeah,
we played stuff. We did a West Coast tour, and we had all his stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it was fucking awesome. Played one of his bass heads in Australia, and that shit was raging.
Yeah. What was that? Is that Skyhammer or something like that? Is that what that is?
Meat Smoke, I think.
Oh, Meat Smoke. Maybe. That's right.
I think so. I don't know. Skyhammer, I think, is a pedal and a head.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. The Meat Smoke is the bass.
Yeah.
Is the bass.
I might not own it, but I know it.
That's right. But I think he was telling me about you guys, and I went and I checked it out, and I was like, yeah, man. Like, people are doing this.
Yeah.
You know, like that fuzz metal.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, I love, you know, it. I can't get enough of it.
A little variety. It's not always so dark and grim.
No, sure, sure. Although I will say, I just watched, like, when I was waiting for you guys to get done loading in the bar, I was watching your video.
Okay. The new one.
Yeah, the new one.
Annihilation of Fear, yeah.
Yes. And that is some dark shit.
Yeah.
That is some twisted stuff, man.
Uh-huh. Boy, that's where we're headed, man.
Robots will inherit the earth.
Yeah. Well on our way.
You guys have done videos before, but nothing like that.
Yeah,
nothing
that was
on
different.
That scale,
I feel,
right?
Yeah, I feel like it was the right choice, like choice as far as director. And
yeah.
The concept and all that. It really relates to the song and the aesthetic of, you know, that and possibly, you know, that the layout of the record.
Sure.
That Santos, great artist, lives here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, John Santos. Okay. He's done numerous things for us. Harmonicraft.
Yeah.
He did all that, the entire layout. He did the new one.
But they actually had, I mean, I remember seeing some pictures of kind of the making of that video.
Yeah.
Where they actually had, you guys had people in
suits.
Costumes
and
suits and stuff, these big foam suits and everything.
Yeah, it was really impressive.
And it looks like animation.
Yeah, yeah.
In
it's
the
all,
actual
like, green
finished
screen
project.
And stuff like that. Yeah. Phil Mucci,
that's insane.
He's pretty damn good.
Did you get to be on set during that?
No, that was done, the production? You know, I think in L.A. Uh-huh. I think we were on tour with Wrong and Nothing, and... You know, we saw a trailer, he made like a poster for it.
Yeah.
You know, we saw a lot of cool stuff coming, and then before we knew it, bam, here's the video. Like, holy shit, this is real. You know, like,
that's a serious video,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's amazing. I kind of got sidetracked there, but I think we were talking before this a little bit about, like, where you're kind of, you know, where Torch kind of started becoming into its own.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you guys, you know, you guys have played huge, huge festivals over in Europe, done some really successful European tours, everything like that. I mean, what does that feel like, getting up on stage in a capacity like where there's, you know, 60,000 people?
I mean, I feel it's easier to play in front of a sea of people than it is to a small group of people.
Because there's no just one face that's like judging you.
Yeah. And that's not really a thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, although sometimes you catch eyes with somebody and it's hilarious.
Uh-huh.
But I'm really doing it for my.
Do they realize it that you're catching
us? Of course.
Us?
It's like a super awkward moment, and like no one can look away, and like it's just like it's the funniest shit.
I'd be doing that on purpose.
Oh, dude, I do that, and then I'll make a funny face, and they're like, ah. There's like a little. They're either stoked or like a little relief, but yeah, I feel like we thrive on like not being an awkward, moody band. Like we're pretty just regular dudes, you know.
Yeah, and
like
I can tell
on the humorous side of things, typically. Uh-huh. But yeah, I don't know. Playing those festivals is great. It's a great feeling because you know usually you're playing alongside a ton of bands, and sometimes you get to see. I mean, there was a festival in Berlin. Where there was a lot of good bands, but damn, who's closing it out? Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I bet.
And then there was another festival where in one day we saw Bombino, Mark Lanegan, Slayer, and Nine Inch Nails. You know, it's like, whoa. Like, it's just those festivals, man. I mean, the Europeans really know how to
they
stir
put
it
them together,
up.
Man.
And sometimes it's, like, interesting, and sometimes, like, okay. But, I mean, you could, at the very least, it's diverse. You know, the lineups at these festivals. And I know it's cool to be exposed to new people, too, you know?
Oh,
and,
sure.
You can always tell by people's reactions at live shows, you know, whether they've heard the band before or they're just, like, stumbled into this huge tent or this area in a huge field.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know, it's great. And sometimes at these festivals, you run into people, going back to what we were talking about earlier, that whose records you grew up on and appreciate and left a mark on you and maybe the way you write. And they're, hey, man, I love your band or I like your band. I have these records, but I'm stoked. You know, you guys played my favorite song or something. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very unique type of gratification.
That's got to be
like
a great
you know,
feeling.
Like 12-year-old me is fucking mental backflips and cartwheels, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Favorite show that you've ever played?
That's a hard one, man. We have, I mean.
Most memorable. How's that?
I have a bad memory, but there was, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to really narrow it down like that. There's areas where we typically have, like, great shows. But, man, I don't know. I know there's some that are amazing, and I know because I remember the feeling. It's like. You get and like at the end of the night you're like this night can't get any better. And sometimes you know it doesn't necessarily have to be the biggest show. Sometimes it's a one-off weird place,
just the energy that's just
having
coming
a
from
show
it.
Yeah. That you've never heard of in a town that you play all the time. You show up and you're like, okay, what's this gonna be like? And then fast forward into the evening, you're like, holy shit, this room is bumping. And then you play and it's incredible. You know?
Yeah.
I say we've had a lot of great shows. Like, I don't know. I guess maybe it's predictable, but like New York. Great shows in Gainesville, Florida. Actually, it's kind of like a second home. Great shows in Chicago, Austin. I don't know, man. Kind of like all over the place.
Just all over the place.
Spain, UK, Spain. Ireland, outstanding.
They seem to love metal.
Great shows
in
Japan,
in Europe.
Too.
In Japan.
Yeah. We've only been once. But
Really?
Yeah, I can't neglect that, man.
Yeah.
You know, we've had some killer shows there. Had killer shows in Australia recently. Finland.
Great,
I don't know.
Man.
Everywhere, man.
Yeah,
we've had...
Yeah.
It's
amazing. You guys have been all over the world just doing what you love.
Yeah. I mean, I don't...
It's amazing.
I love it. I don't take it for granted. And, you know, it's very special and very important to me.
Yeah. Well, the new album... Restarter is out now, available. Where should we send people to find this thing?
I guess relapse.com.
Yeah?
Relapserecords.com.
I fucking love that label.
Yeah, man, they're great dudes.
So much.
It's like a label that puts out stuff according to their interest and what they like.
Yeah.
You know, they're genuine music fans and fanatics.
Yeah.
You know? They,
indeed.
And they're there to help out. And
they've always been good to me.
Yeah, they're great guys.
Yeah.
Man. And, just recently, we were touring with Nothing, which is also on Relapse.
Oh, man, they're so good.
Yeah, we did it.
So good.
That was our first tour for this record.
Yeah, yeah.
And we took out Wrong, which is our sound guys band. And along with some other friends of ours from back home. And, I mean, we knew what we were getting into because I think they're fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And then once we started the tour, the Nothing dudes were like, shit, these are fucking awesome. And so this is getting relayed to Relapse. And those dudes, some of them already had, like, the demo LP that came out on Robotic Empire, and when we went to the office, you know, they kind of they asked about it, and we were talking about them anyways. Cause like, yeah, how's the tour? Yeah. Like, oh, it's been killer. You know, three bands, you know, that all get along and all like each other's music, playing, you know, and having great shows. That tour was great. You know, a lot of sold out nights. And I think this tour is going to be a lot like that, too.
Yeah, man.
It's already looking that way.
Yeah.
And, it was just, it was really cool to see and also kind of, like, instigate, you know, push Wrong into, like, their attention zone, if you will.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And Nikki from Nothing was also pushing. So they asked about it at the office, and they made it a point to get there. Watch a set, and you know, it was funny.
And check it out.
Yeah, and then after that, I just kept like I was hanging out with Eli, one of the dudes, and saw him rocking out and really taking it in. And I think he was there was a couple texts going. I think they were, you know, communicating while watching.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was getting excited. And then at the end of the show, I'm like, "What do you think?" He's like, "Fucking badass, man!" It blew my mind. And
yeah,
I asked Rennie, and he was.
I'm gonna have to check these guys out.
Oh, dude, yes,
Wrong,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, shit. 5 minutes after the set, they were talking about working together, and they were now signed to Relapse.
Done.
Yeah, and it's like, dude, that's a great feeling, you know, for your friends. You want, you know, and if you're into a band, you want to make sure that they get, you know, there's visibility and they get heard and they can tour. And
yeah, yeah.
So that was a cool thing with Relapse, and it really set an example. They're like, yeah, we like them, we want to work with them. We're going to put our time and effort into them.
Yeah, yeah. There's certain labels that, you know, we work with for this show and getting acts on and stuff. And like you guys, Red Fang.
Yeah.
I've been, you know, waiting for Nothing to come back through Seattle.
They're recording a new record right now, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's not going to happen for a little while.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe a festival is summertime, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But they've always been so great to work with, man.
Oh, dude,
everybody in that office, just like...
They're great.
Get back to you really quick, which is totally unheard of.
Yeah,
in
Bob
this business,
will be here tonight. He's a great dude. Yeah, he's done a lot for us. He instigated the Torch versus Robots video game. I think he is. Do some credit.
Where can you play that? By the way,
If you go to our website, I think it's like
it's on there.
Yeah, like it might even be the homepage is a link to start playing. Or
that's
something.
Awesome.
Last time I went.
By the way, how does that feel? Have your own fucking video game.
It's weird. My I remember sending a link to my brother to see what his reaction. He's like, "What the fuck?" It was, you know, I tried playing. I played a little bit.
You send that to your dad. Hey, Dad, check this out.
Yeah, he would
look where I'm at now.
He'd probably need help navigating that and getting that going.
That's great, man. But, well, this has been a lot of fun talking with you, man. And like I said, the new album Restarter available now. You can go to relapse.com. Is that where that is?
Okay.
Yeah. And find it, or you can go
like by iTunes or Bandcamp.
Sure,
I don't know. I'm not good with that stuff.
Where's your what's Torch's website?
Torchmusic.com.
Torchmusic.com. Okay, there you go. Well, thank you so much for
thank
taking
you
the time.
Yeah.
All right, that was great, right? Man, what a cool dude, and what a great story about his family coming over from Cuba and making it out, man, making it to the States. What a great story! I really enjoyed that chat with John. I hope you guys do as well. If you're new to the show and you're just checking us out for the first time, we want to urge you to go to our website at www.air-raid.net. And click on the archives tab and you can find all 260 episodes with bands like Red Fang, The Melvins, Mudhoney, Death Cab Cutie, Pearl Jam, let's see, who else is on the roster? Duff McKagan, founding member of Guns N' Roses, Pete Holmes, Mike Birbiglia, Aisha Tyler, Bob Saget, Jim Brewer, whole range of comedians, Judah Friedlander, yeah man, Kurt Braunohler, all been on the show before, man. Oh, Dana Gould. Dana Gould was on the show. Oh, God, he was great. Eddie Pepitone. Man, we've been going on for a long time, so go check it out. Air-raid.net, click on the archives tab, and you can find all 260 episodes for your streaming pleasure right there. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. Only takes a couple seconds, really helps out in the long run. We are also available on Stitcher, TuneIn, and Cairo Radio apps, not to mention the new Spreaker app. Yeah, that's right. You can find us on Spreaker.com.
or just visit air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed with your mobile device. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/theairraidpodcast. Our Twitter handle is at airraidnet, or you can email me, tell me what you think of the show at aaron@air-raid.net. And remember to take the pledge, folks. Take the pledge to tell somebody about this show. Spread the word. Help us get the word out on Air Raid. It's going good so far, but you know, we need all the help we can get. We're not famous people here. We just talk to some of them. That should be our new slogan, right? That's great. Here is your inspirational quote of the week, as said by a four-year-old.
Somewhere, something incredible is waiting to be known.
I love my daughter. God, I love her. Okay. We're going to go out today with the song off of the album Restarter by Torch. The song is called Loose Men. And we'll be back next week. I think next week is going to be, let's see, what is it? Oh, no, it's David Chen. David Chen is going to be coming on, the producer of the Tobolowsky Files. Is that what that show's called? Yeah. He's got an album out. It's great. It's called Loose Men. Tune in next week for that. All right. But Loose Men, Torch off of Restarter. Have a great one, everybody.
Yeah.